Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. Thanks. Yes, it was quite a trip, I'll tell you that. It was one thing after another. We were hoping to leave on Tuesday. We left 9 o'clock Wednesday night, and it was just one thing after another. But it's good to be here. We got in about 1:30 this morning, and praise God. So we left 85-degree weather, and I came into... It wasn't bad, though. I mean, I'm not going to mention snow, though. I think y'all are tired of it, obviously. So, if you will, take your Bibles this morning, go to Ecclesiastes. While you're turning there, I'm. Amen. It's good to be here. I showed Pastor my fancy shoes. My dress shoes are out in the X, and didn't get to them in time. And so I go, well, it's mud season, so this will be okay. So, we do have a table in the back in the foyer there, and I have some prayer cards with actually accurate information on them. So those are back there. Please pray for us. There's a lot going on. We had a fifth wheel given to us, praise God, a good one, and to go over everything that's happened in the last 4 months would take a whole, and I just don't even want to do it. But anyway, pray for us. Like I said, the fifth wheel's been given to us. We're praying for a truck. There is a specific truck that we're praying for that would be good because of the weight of the fifth wheel. A regular one-ton truck won't be good, big enough, and so we have to go to probably 4,500. And we're praying for a GMC Top Kick used. It's a used one, but we've had $10,000 come in towards it, and we're about a third of the way there. So really would appreciate your prayers for that. We really need a rig. There's a lot of work that we know the Lord wants us to do, but it's His. I can't go into everything, but about 2 months ago, I just said, okay, Lord, the books you want written and all that's all the work, it's your work, not mine. And if you want it done, great. But there's just some things got to take place in order to get it done. So I just had to give it all to Him. Mm-hmm. And we know, just please pray for us. We know there's at least a book that the Lord wants Terry to write for ladies. But all that stuff is just on hold until we can get things situated. So really would appreciate prayers for that. But prayer card in the back, there are books and things back there. We are the McDonald's, so we have a dollar menu. And so there are some things back there for a dollar. And so they're good. This one here is called The Dairyman's Daughter. This is a true story about a young lady. Let me see if I... is back in the 1800s. 1801 she died. But anyway, it's a life story of hers. This little booklet in the 19th century, 1800s, literally sold millions. Millions of these went around the world. Many, many people saved by this story. And a great story of her life. And it's back there with some other booklets and things as well. So, look it over. If Lord leads you, pick some stuff up, it'd be a help to us. And really would appreciate that. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 is where we'll start this morning. And be in prayer this week for the revival. Pray, Lord, just do what He wants. Amen. And have His way in your heart, my heart, everything. It's all Him. It's all Him. Whatever He wants, that's what matters. And so Ecclesiastes 12, we'll start in verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house should tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Father, God, just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, it's good to be saved. It's good to know our sins are under the blood. One of these days, we're going to be out of this world. We'll have new bodies, and we'll be home. Lord, I look forward to that day, and I pray you come back soon. God, I'm ready to go. There's nothing I have down here. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, if there's anybody lost here today, I pray they get saved. For those of us that are saved, I just pray that you'd minister. And whatever need is, Lord, I believe this is what you'd have me to preach. And God, I just pray that you would bless, that you'd work. And God, as you deal with us, I pray that we would submit to you. God, I pray we not harden ourselves against thee, knowing that, Lord, you're our best friend. And God, whatever thou wantest, it's always right. It's always good. And I know the flesh doesn't like it, but Lord, I pray that we would trust you and submit to thee. God, bless the message. Be with me, Lord. Fill me. Guide the words of my mouth. And Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased with all that's said and done. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we know from the Word of God that the church age, this time right now of Christianity, is approximately 2,000 years long. And having started at the cross, if you want to say it, basically we're at the end. We're at the end. You look around, you can tell we're at the end. They're breaking records, weather records, right and left. I mean, there were some days this winter, I mean, there's something like 2,000 records broken in one day. They're breaking records now in California right now with a heat wave. The last thing California needs is more heat in that drought. And but I'm just saying, with the one world government on the brink and just the number of things going on, that it's obvious we're at the end of this age. And I'm just going to say at the cross, because the death of the testator, New Testament's in force, and there's some transitional things, and I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But the church is a body, all right? The body of Christ. And I don't mean this local Baptist church is the true body of Christ and all of the briars and all that stuff. But since the cross, there's been people getting saved, and there's been this body. And I heard a preacher preach, and he was over there in Proverbs 31, I believe it is, on the virtuous woman. And he likened the qualities of the virtuous woman, he applied it to Christianity or the body of Christ. And I thought, well, that's pretty good. And it was a good sermon. And I got thinking about that, the body, the Christianity as a body. And I got thinking about that thing about its infancy and how it grew. And I thought, would that apply? And I came across this here in Ecclesiastes. And it goes over some things here. And it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. And it's good to get to know God when you're young. You young people here this morning, get to know God now. The victories you get now are going to help you as you get older. David had a victory when he went up against Goliath when he was a teenager. And that victory, some years go by, David's running for his life. He goes to the temple, the high priest is there, and he says, do you have a sword? He said, my business required haste. Do you have a sword? He said, well, David, we don't have any swords. Well, we do have that one of Goliath, that giant you killed. He says, there's none like that. Give it me. And I'll tell you, a victory that David got as a teenager helped him as he got older. You need to get to know God as early as possible. Read your Bible, pray, get to know your Savior when you're young. It's going to help you when you get older. And he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Now, the Bible's very plain. The evil days. The world calls them the golden years, you know. And this time of year, now and then you might see a billboard. And it's Destin, Florida. White sandy beaches, turquoise water, sunshine and blue sky, and there's a hoary-headed man and lady walking along the beach, you know, and the course of flesh is showing, but they're tanned, you know, and it says, the golden years, visit Destin, you know, all that sort of thing. And they make it look so great, but they can walk. You know, that's it. And they're in shape. You know, they're all fit and trim, you know, in their 60s, 70s, you know, all that stuff. But they're in shape walking along the beach. Not everybody's that way. The golden years. That's not how the Bible calls them. The Bible calls them the evil days. So, oh, that's so depressing. No, it's real. It's real, man. It says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Wow. He's like, oh, man, that's so depressing. Well, not if you're saved. If you're saved, these bodies, you know what? They grow old. They do. They grow old. It just gets worse and worse every year. But it's going to get worse, folks. The sermon's just getting started, so... But can you imagine? I mean, there's things I still have pleasure in. I take pleasure in things. And I'm 56. But there comes a point in life where there's no pleasure. There's no pleasure laying down. There's no pleasure getting up. There's no pleasure eating. There's no pleasure doing anything. There's no pleasure. You say, wow, that's bad. It is. It is. You say, what is that? That's the evil days. That's the evil days. And people grow old. I was talking to a man over there in Brooklyn. He's the chaplain of a very large retirement center. It's a nursing home. But it's one of those where they have the stages and you can go there and get an apartment and then you move on to where you can't drive anymore, and then you move on to where, you know, people take care of you. And he said, this doesn't happen every day, but he said it's not uncommon that there was a man who had cancer, and he was there and he was in the last part of it, geriatrics, I guess, I don't know, but he had his room. And he went to the doctor, and the cancer had come back. And they went up to his room. He didn't come down, or they didn't come down to eat or whatever. And he had taken a towel or something wrapped around his neck and tied it. I think it was a tie. Tied it to the doorknob. He's in a wheelchair. Pushed himself out of the wheelchair and hung himself. He said, wow, that's bad. Well, he didn't want to fight it anymore. He's done. He's done. I don't know if he's saved or not. He said, what is that? That's the evil days. That's the evil days. I'll tell you what, if you're not saved, that's where you're headed. And then once you leave that, you're going to hell. Best thing to do is get saved, man. One of these days, we're getting new bodies. Amen. Thank God, thank God. But it says they're the evil days. And the body grows old. And I'm going to apply this now to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ had its infancy. You read a lot about it Fox's Book of Martyrs and different things. And it grew and it had its stages, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and goes to the seven churches. And it had its maturity in the 15, 16, 17, and 1800s. Missions was around the world. And oh, it was the heyday of Christianity. And now we're in Laodicea. We're at the end. We're at the end. And this sermon and this application, I think of this every day when I look around me at Christianity. And so I want to apply this thing. And it says there, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. I thought there was sunshine after the rain. Clouds spread, sunshine, oh, it's wonderful. But comes a point up in years and there's no sunshine. You got cataracts. And thank God for doctors and thank God for medicine that they can be removed and the marvelous things that they can do now with proper medicine. And the things, it really is amazing. The body still grows old. And Christianity has gotten to its geriatric stage. It really has. And it says there in the day, verse 3, when the keepers of the house shall tremble. What is that? The keepers of the house. Well, I'm going to apply it. The keepers of the house are the hands. The hands. And in your youth, those hands are sure that they can grip something. And boy, it's a firm grip if it's a hammer or a saw or whatever it might be or a pot on the stove. And boy, you can just grip that thing and you can work and labor and they've got a sure grip. But as you get older, that grip doesn't get quite so sure. The dexterity is not what it used to be. And so now you boys, you don't know about this. You can just pick something up, no problem. They get up in here and your mind's thinking, you go to get your car keys, you pick them up and you drop them. Oh man. And the hard thing about dropping your keys is bending over to pick them up. That's the hard thing. Hey, you know, and you're still thinking about it, you go and drop them again. Oh man. You know, hey, I've done it three times, dropped them three times, like, you know, okay, I gotcha, you know. And it's like, man, you know, it just, I remember watching this guy. It was in a In-N-Out Burger out there in Arizona. It's a fast food place out there. And he was in overalls. He looked like a farmer. And he ordered his meal, and they gave him a cup, you know, fill up the soda fountain. He got that cup, and he had both hands. It was empty. Both hands. Yeah. I mean, he was intent on filling that thing right. I mean, a young guy, you know, he's got his buddies there. Oh, yeah, hey, man, okay, right, yeah, okay, right. You know, just talk, you know. That old guy, man, he was just intent there. What? He had to concentrate. Man, it was just everything, you know, it's okay, you know. Because, you know, you spill it, you know, and all that stuff. And just the keepers of the house, they're just not what they used to be. And start to tremble, you know, and just don't have that sure grip anymore. And they're just shaking there like that. You say, what is that? Well, I'm going to say the keepers of the house. You know what that is? That's the preachers. Now listen, I'm talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about Baptists. I'm talking about everything at one point that was preaching the gospel. That goes back to the Church of England. That's Anglican. That's Lutheran. The Methodists and all. I mean, the things you see today when you read church history, at one time God was using those denominations in a very real way to bring revival. And today, it's not like that. And you got preachers today, I mean, where at one point there was a sure grip.
Like what? Well, they had a sure grip that there was a heaven and that there's a hell. And that if you're not born again, you're going to hell. And you need to be born again. You need to be saved. And Jesus Christ died for you and shed His blood for you. And this Bible is the Word of God. And but they had a sure grip on what was right and what's wrong. And now, the preachers in Christianity are a joke. They're a joke. They're just, well, you know, I just think, and they're preaching this psychobabble. I mean, the Joel Osteens, you know, and the junk, you know, it's just all this junk going on. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's a Hades. I don't want to say hell because that's just too negative. And I just don't know. I don't want to say the word sodomite. Oh, I can't say sodomite. Oh, no, they're just gay. And, well, they were probably born that way. And God loves them too. It's a mess, man. It's a mess. Man, when I said this morning, you know, that it's a joy to be in a Bible-believing church, I mean exactly what I'm saying, that you're still in a church that believes that you got the Word of God, and it's not a belief, you know it is. There's plenty of evidence to prove that. And you know there's a heaven. You know there's a hell. Jesus Christ still saves. God still answers prayer. I mean, we're nothing. I'm not saying we're better than anybody else, but we're blessed. Yes. But to be in that remnant, in the last seconds of Christianity, is a great privilege. But the preachers, they don't have a grip anymore. They've lost their grip on what's right and what's wrong. You say, why is that? It's an old body. It's about time to go home. We're at the end. Notice what it says there. In the day when the keeper of the house should tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. What's that? Well, that'd be your legs. Your legs start to give out, start to bow, you know. And at one point, I mean, as a kid, some of you, now, you young people, you'll do this. You know, you say, let's race. All right, go. And I mean, it's pedal to the metal, open it up. Wah! You're just running. Man, just go. Those legs, bah, 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 you know. It just feels good, you know. Just because you're young. It's been a long time. I don't even want to try. No pedal to the metal anymore, man. We're just going to cruise. But, you know, those legs, I mean, I remember as a kid, I'd go down to the river at the end of summer and tennis shoes on, and I'd hop rocks, go down there fishing, you know, just hopping them rocks and all that stuff. And I'd still go down there, but boy, I'd sure take it slower. But I mean, I could jump. You're just agile. Those legs hold you up. Man, you could move and do all kinds of things on it. Wouldn't even think anything about it. You know, just all that stuff. And you get older and older and older. And little by little, you're not as agile as you used to be. The legs don't hold you up as much. You got to watch it. You got to be careful. You got to concentrate more. And as you get older and older, then you start to fall. The legs don't catch you, and they give out, and then you fall and hurt yourself, and that sort of thing. You say, what's going on? You're getting older. Getting older. And there is a day. You say, what's the legs? I'm going to liken that to the churches. There was a day when the churches could stand on their own. They had a strength in them. And they could stand on the Word of God and the promises of God. And they would stand and say, if you're not saved, you're going to hell. They wouldn't have a circus. They wouldn't have the gimmicks and all this stuff to try to get people in. They just stood on the truth. And you look around. And it's not that way. Man, you got. I remember that there's a song, there's an old hymn. It's an old Methodist hymn called Arise, My Soul, Arise. And it's a good song. And I don't know, I was on YouTube or something, and I put that in, Arise My Soul. I wanted to hear some singing, you know. And it said, Arise My Soul, Arise. And I'm like, all right, you know, and I clicked on this thing. It wasn't even the same melody, but it was the same words. And there's this teenage girl singing at a microphone in a church. And long story short, it was a geriatric band. It was. This old guy's on guitar, another old guy on bass, you know, another old guy on the drum set, and there's a teenage girl singing, Arise My Soul, Arise. I'm thinking, this is absolutely nuts. And the preacher's sitting there with his wife, and they're just, oh, it's wonderful. And it's like, this is crazy. It's just crazy, man. He said, what's wrong? They can't stand on their own anymore. You see, when your legs give out, what happens? Well, you might get a crutch or a walker, you know, stick. But then you go to a walker and you have to get artificial support. That's a wheelchair or a walker. And the churches now, you know what they're using? They're using artificial support to keep them going. Whether it's rock and roll music, there's churches that go in together with the city to build a sports baseball thing on it so they can have advertisement and go in together with the lost world just to try to keep the church going. You say, what's going on? Why is that? Well, you see, it's an aged body. It's about time to go home. It's just getting old. It's no longer the march of an army. It's no longer a march. It's a dance. It's a dance. But it says there, in the day when the keepers of the house should tremble, and the strong men should bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. Now, you can pretty well figure that one out. You see what happens? You start losing your teeth. I mean, you know, thank God for dentists, amen? I got a tooth back here. It ain't right. I can't hit it. I can barely chew gum with it. I don't have the money to go to the dentist. It's the way it goes. It'll fall out one day, I guess. But you take it. What is that? It's old age. Just old age. And the grinders cease because they're few. You say, what is that? There's not a lot of Bible being chewed on anymore. There's not a lot of preachers putting out the book and saying, well, the Bible says this, and check this verse and check that verse. And they've chewed on it, and they're giving it out. I mean, again, when you look around, folks, you know what I'm saying? When you look at the Methodists and the just the junk and the congregational and all the mess out there, you don't get Bible. It's just gone. I'm telling you, better be thankful for what you got. But I mean, it's getting to the point just to give them some Bible. Oh, we don't want doctrine. Ah, doctrine. Oh, it divides. It's horrible doctrine. We don't want doctrine, you know. It's like, what's wrong? They don't have any teeth to chew on it, I guess. I don't know. Oh, no, they say they believe that and they believe that. We don't know. You know why? They don't have the Word of God. They have nobody leading them. They're not learning the Bible. All they know is, well, Jesus loved me, and I do believe He died on the cross, and I believe I'm saved. That's all they got. It's bad. It's bad. I mean, you know, if you're saved, you know what you are? You're a sheep, right? You're sheep. Do you know what sheep do? They ruminate. Do you know that? You say, what's that? Some of you know, but I didn't know. I had to look it up. They ruminate. A sheep, it'll be eating grass. It'll be eating. And then a sheep will stop. And maybe lay down, stand there, either way. And then after he's eaten that grass, he'll go, start chewing on it. And he burps it up, and, you know, and he's chewing it again, you know. And that's ruminate. That's taking that thing and bringing it back up and chewing on that. And you know what you need to do? You need to ruminate on the Word of God. You need to take that book and get a verse. Now, thank God for reading through it. I mean, go through it. But there ought to be a verse now and then where you just take that thing, you memorize it when you're at work or through the day, and you just kind of chew on it. And I'll tell you, God will give you stuff. You meditate on a verse, man, he's like, oh, yeah. And boy, that thing will minister. That thing will minister to you. But nowadays, ain't much. They're not chewing on the Word of God. It's all Christian romances and Left Behind series. That's where they get their doctrine. It's bad. You say, why is that? Well, you see, it's an aged body. We're at the end. It's about time to go home. It really is. And he says there, the strong men shall bow themselves, the grinders cease because they're few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And obviously, in the Bible times, the cataracts. And you can't see, Eli went blind. And there's another one. Who was the other guy? Two people went blind in the Bible, I think. Old. They were old. I know Eli did. Maybe not. But because the lamp went out in the temple there in 1 Samuel. But what's going on there? Probably cataracts. And they come up there, and it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And even if it isn't cataracts, your eyes still, the cones and the rods and all that stuff, they don't work like they do when they're young. You young people, you have good eyesight and all that sort of thing, and it gets dimmer and dimmer, and pretty soon you got to get glasses and all that stuff. I can't even read my speedometer. I'm like, oh, I don't know what that says. And part of it might be fatigue. The other part is my eyes are getting bad. And I got glasses. These are prescription, but I don't want to wear them. You know, but I should. I should. But you take, there was a time in Christianity where they saw the world. And there was a heartbeat. And there was a vision. We got to go win them. We got to go win them. Let's go to Brazil. Let's go to Africa. Let's go to New Guinea. Let's go around the world and tell them about Jesus. And man, there was missionaries going, crossing each other. C.T. Studd going over there. He started out there in India, went to China, and then ends up in Africa. I mean, his life story is just absolutely amazing. And boy, they went. There was just a heartbeat. I gotta go, gotta go. And I wanna be buried on my field. What was it? Livingston said, bury my heart in Africa. And nowadays missionaries go, maybe one, maybe two terms, and they come back home, and that's it. Coming off the field. Doors are closing. The vision isn't what it used to be. A vision. You got a vision for around here. You got a vision for the people around here. They're lost and going to hell. And you got the answer. Amen. Have you lost your vision for them? You say, well, they're hard. Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. But the Lord still saves. Amen. The Lord still works. The Lord's still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Have your eyes grown dim? I hope not. But in Christianity, they've grown dim. The missions is dying. It really is dying. You say, why is that? Oh, it's an old body. An old body. He says there, and the door shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low. Get up in years, your ears can't hear as good. You say, man, preacher, it's just so depressing. Yeah, but it's real. I mean, just... everything starts giving out, doesn't work like it used to. You know, I got thinking about that. I got thinking about how the body starts to, you know, just fall apart. And I thought, God is so good. You say, why is that? Because he's letting you know, you don't got much time. Are you ready? Are you ready? That time's getting closer and closer, and you know it because your body's starting to give out. Are you ready to meet God? Are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready for eternity? That's a mercy of God doing that stuff. But the hearing, and you take people, they don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want to hear God's voice. They have a hard time listening to what God has to say. They don't want to hear it. Shut up, don't tell me. Old people, I don't know, my guess is after a while, they don't even want to go to the doctor. It's like, why? It's just going to be more bad news. And that's about where Christianity is. It's just, I just don't want to hear it. Just leave me alone. And that's where it goes. They just don't want to listen to what the Word of God has to say. I hope that's not you. This book right here, that's the words of God. Amen. That thing right there makes your life worth living, even if your body isn't working right.
That right there. That gives you purpose. That gives you reason to live. That gives you answers to every question you have. That book makes life, gives sense to this life. And the world and all the stuff around, there's no sense. They don't have answers. They only have ideas or thoughts or hypotheses and on and on and on. This is the answer. That's it right there. And they don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. I do. I want to hear it. I want to hear it preached. I want to hear it taught. I want to listen to it. I want to read it. I want to be in it. That book right there sustains me. It'll sustain you too. But Christianity, don't want to hear it. So why is that? Well, it's an old body. And it's getting ready to go. It says there, and the door shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low, and you shall rise up at the voice of the bird. When you get up in years, you know what happens? You have a hard time resting. You have a hard time sleeping. I mean, as a kid, you take young people, they'll go to bed, and sometimes they'll lay there for a little bit, but once they're out, straight 8, straight 9, just right on through. You know? I mean, they wake up, and it's like, well, I just, you know, 8 hours is gone. It's been a long time since I've had a straight 8. Long time. I mean, I remember I was at one house, a preacher and his wife, and we slept in the basement. And his wife said, now, if you hear something in the night, I just want you to know, my husband, he'll be down for 3, he'll be up for 2, and he'll go back down for 3. He said, that's what he does at night. He said, why is that? You get up in years, it just... you have a hard time sleeping, have a hard time resting, you know, that sort of thing. And you take modern Christians, they don't know how to rest in the Lord. Oh, no, what am I going to do? What if I lose my 401k? Oh, no, the stock market. Oh, no, what am I going to... oh, no, I'm going to just... oh, yeah. Would you just relax? And it's just all... it's like, man, there's a blessing in being poor. You can't count on any of that stuff. You have to count on God, you know? That's like, what if everything goes to pieces? Doesn't bother me. Doesn't hurt me, man. Just cruise right on through. I mean, I am aware that there are people that if they ended up in the condition my wife and I are in right now, they would have a heart attack. They'd go, ah, you know. It's like, hey, jump in. The water's fine, man. You know, Lord's doing good. Lord's, you know, that's it. But you take people, they don't know how to rest in God. You know, every once in a while you meet a Christian in the store, you know, somewhere. And you start talking to them, which is very rare, but now and then. And you get talking to them, and they're just, well, isn't it good to be saved? Well, yeah. They don't know if they are or not. You know? Well, have you accepted the Lord? Are you born again? Well, yeah, I've done that. Well, you're saved. Well, I hope so. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's like, man, I tell you, you better thank God what you got here. I'll tell you what, man. But they have a hard time resting. God's people, they don't know how to rest in the Lord. And just counting on everything else, the Obamacare and all that stuff, doesn't work. You better be counting on the promises of God. Amen. That's where your peace, that's where your rest is going to be. Amen. And it says, he'll rise up the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low, lose their joy. God's people don't have a lot of joy. And also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. You take old people. Now, when I was a kid, I liked to climb trees. Any of you young people like to climb trees? Yeah, amen. Yeah, even the girls. Yeah, there you go. I mean, out there in California, we have them big trees, and they go way, way up there. I mean, pines and cedars and sugar pines and all that stuff. And we had one next door, and I went over there one day. I don't know how old I was, about 10 years old, I guess. And I had to jump up, get to the bottom branch, you know, finally got it, and climbed up there. It was just a pine tree. So it's just straight, you know. It's almost a ladder, you know. And you just, I'm climbing. And the base of that tree... it literally was about that big. And I'm climbing that base, getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm going up, wow, this is great, you know. And the wind's starting to blow, you know. And it's getting smaller and smaller. And I'm climbing up there, you know. And it's getting smaller and smaller. And I'm up there, and the base about up there. And I'm way up there. And I'm looking out, you know. It's like, wow. And I mean, I was way up there.
Way, way up there. And probably five stories up at least, you know, over all the regular houses. And I'm up there and I'm looking out and that wind blew and I felt that tree go. And I thought it was going to stop. And it didn't stop. It kept going. And I'm like, whoa. And I said, and then finally it's like, good. And then and it went way over, and I went, I'm going to get down a little bit, you know, and I got down a bit lower on that thing, you know. But I mean, I like climbing trees, you know. I still like climbing trees, but it would have to be a real good reason for me to get up in a tree. And a cat is not. And I would make sure the branches are bigger, you know, and that sort of thing. But, you know, I mean, we climb trees and stuff. But you get up in years, you don't want to climb a tree. You don't want to get up on a ladder. As a matter of fact, you look at a flight of stairs and go, is it worth it? Is what it's at the top of that, do I really want to go up that thing? You know, and you get afraid of what's high. And there was a time when Christians were not afraid to stick their neck out for Jesus Christ and take the high road and step out by faith, and all they had was the promises of God and go the high road. And now it's, well, I'll play it safe. You know, I've got my retirement, so if this doesn't work, I can always jump back here. And I got this to cover that, and I got that, and I got all my what-ifs covered and stuff. Okay, there, Esther, okay, I'm going to serve God. No, you're not. No, you're not. I've seen people do that. I know one guy, he was waiting till retirement to serve Jesus Christ. When retirement came, he got ready to serve the Lord, and he got sick and died. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Did you know it's never going to be convenient for you to do anything for Jesus Christ? If you do anything for the Lord, it's going to be by faith without the what ifs covered. That's how you got saved. You went by faith. And that pleased God. And your daily walk, whatever God wants you to do, you're going to have to do it by faith. And the flesh hates faith. It hates faith. But you take nowadays, God's people, they're afraid of going the high road. They're afraid of getting up to a point where they don't have the safety nets and all that sort of thing. They're afraid of that, and so they just play it safe. You say, why is that? It's an old body. It's about time to go home. Let me give just a few more and I'll be done. But it says there also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high and fear shall be in the way. Old people afraid of all kinds of things. What if somebody comes to my house? What if the house burns down? What if I trip and fall? What if I break my hip? What if I choke? What about this? Oh no, you know. And that boy, the life alert. Help, I've fallen and I can't get up, you know. All that stuff, you know. Ah, you know, all that just... Man, and they play on that for your money. And old people, they get afraid. And God's people, they're fearful. And that's not of God. And you say, why is that? It's an aged body, geriatric. About time to go home. About time. It says their fear should be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. What is that? Well, an almond tree is gray. And you start getting old, your hair turns gray or loose. And mine's turning loose and gray. But it turns gray. And I'm not trying to pick on you ladies, all right? Please, don't. But you take your ladies now. Your looks are important to you. A man likes what he sees and that sort of thing. And so, you know, long about, you know, in your 30s or 40s or something, you know, you're getting ready. You look in the mirror and... Pull it out. You know, it's like, oh, wow. And it shakes you up, you know. But you don't let him know. You know, and then a few weeks later, oh, you know. And so then, you know, hair's starting to turn gray. Oh no! And I'm not saying right or wrong. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just telling you. And so it's like, well, you know, I'll diet. You know, I'll just diet my regular color. So you know, it just won't. And so you do that. You want to do that? That's fine. That's fine. I'm not saying yes or no on that thing. But what's going on? Well, you're not wanting to look old. That's all. You just, you know, of course, Hollywood, you know, there, you know, stretch it, you know, get the creases out, stretch it, you know. I mean, Liberace, man, he stretched his skin so far he couldn't close his eyes. I don't know if you knew that. I mean, he'd go to bed at night, he had to put something over his eyes because he couldn't close them. I mean, it just, you know, oh, I don't want to look old, you know, all that stuff. I mean, Cher. I don't have time to go into Cher. But Cher, I remember as a teenager, Cher, you know, the gypsies, tramps, and thieves, and Sonny and Cher show and all that sort of thing. I mean, through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, there's Cher, and she still looks young, you know, and no wrinkles and on and on and on and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, man, will she ever look old? I don't know. You know, just... You see, it's just, you know, I just look at it and I think, underneath, you're an old hag. That's just what I think, you know. But you take, I mean, you're trying to make it look, you know, like you're not old. And Christianity, they're like, well, we don't want to look old, so we'll get a new Bible. And we'll get new music. And we'll get new names. It won't be church anymore, or Baptist, or Methodist. It's The Door. You know, or The Oasis. The Vineyard, you know. I mean, they're trying to be modern and all this stuff, you know. Man, over there in Rochester, they got the Potter's House, and when you walk in, they give you earplugs. Right. They give you earplugs and something about, I don't think they give you a flashlight, but because the lights are out. And it's just a concert. I mean, the music is so loud, they're in the middle of, and they got the money. It's Laodicea, man. They got the money. And beautiful building. I mean, just, and it's literally a block to the street. And on the other side of the street's houses, and those people have their windows shut and the doors closed, and they can still hear the music from the church. And it's rock and roll. And you say, what's going on? Well, we don't want to look old. We're going to be new. The world knows you're old. You say, how do you know that? Because you hear them say, it's a post-Christian era. They know it's old. They know it's over. You see what's going on? We're at the end, folks. It's about time to go home. Amen. He says there, the almond tree shall flourish and the grasshopper shall be a burden. And you take that grasshopper, there's two things about that. Number one, it can be eaten in the Bible. It's food. But in order to get a grasshopper if you're old, that's not easy. I mean, you know, I'd get a grasshopper, I'd use a fly swatter, you know, or something, but quick. I mean, if I had to get a grasshopper now, I'd have to get me a fly swatter about that big, you know. You know, somewhere under there, you know. And, you know, because I'm so slow, you know, that thing. But even if you do, you know what the problem is? You got to bend over. Amen? And it's like, when you get up, see, now you kids, see, you guys, you fall down, you bounce. You know, it's no problem. We fall down, we break, you know. And, you know, that grasshopper's there, and it's like, you got to negotiate. You got to make sure, can I get up once I get down? You know, it's like, you know. I mean, that's work. And you say, so how does that apply? Not a lot of praying. Not a lot of praying going on. The church today doesn't pray much. I like getting on my knees and praying now. As I get older,
my knees hurt. I got padded. I got kneeling pads like for the garden. I'll get those and they help. And I like kneeling and praying, but I find myself sitting and praying or walking and praying more and more and more. And I'm not saying you have to kneel. I'm not saying that. You know that. But I'm just saying there's not a lot of praying going on in Christianity. It's bad. But there's something else about that grasshopper. That grasshopper, you know what also is likened unto? Children. You know what old people have a hard time with? Kids. You say, how do you know that? You ever hear of a gated community, 55 and older, and no kids allowed? I mean, it's like, you know, you can come visit grandma and grandpa, now leave, please. You know, we don't want the screaming and the shouting. Now, as your young parents, it's no big deal. It's almost music to your ears. But you get up in years, it's just not that way. And you take it in modern Christianity, modern Christians, they don't have a lot of grace with a young babe in the Lord that comes in that's got the earrings and the tattoos and doesn't smell right and doesn't talk right. They don't, well, it's just, they've been safe for a month. They ought to know better. Might take a year. Might take two. Right. You're still growing, aren't you? But if they're coming out of Egypt, there's going to be marks and things. You ought to love them. Amen. It ought to be a haven. It ought to be a place where they're welcomed and loved and taken care of. But modern Christianity, they don't have a lot of grace for that stuff. The worldly stuff, they just look like them. They say, oh, we'll join up, you know. But the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, the mourners go about the streets. You get up in years, and I'm done. You get up in years, and you know what? You just don't want to do anything. You just don't want to do anything. It says, desire shall fail. Man, you know, you grandma and grandpa, you know, or maybe your kids are getting a little bit older and stuff, and you've been out working, and you come home, and the kids, they say, let's go do something. I remember I'd say, I've been doing something all day. I don't want to go do anything. Oh, come on, man. You know, Dad, please, can't we just go do something? I was like, I don't want to. Oh, can't we just go here? You know, whatever. You know, I want to do something. You young people, it's like, man, let's go. Let's do something, man. You guys just don't want to do nothing. You're right. You're right. You're exactly right, man. And desire shall fail. And you get up in years, you have no desire to do anything. And it's getting to a point now where God's people, they have no desire for the things of God. They have no desire to do right. They have no desire to read their Bible. No desire to pray. No desire to love the Lord. No desire. Desire's gone amongst Christianity. You say, why is that? It's an old body. It's an old body. We're at the end, folks. There's a few, and it's about over. That's not where we are. We're on life support, man. It's just about done. You say, well, that's a negative view of Christianity. I mean, all the churches around, they say revival's taking place. Yeah, that ain't Bible. That ain't Bible revival, I'll tell you that. But you take, it's at the end. And these are conditions that you see. Now listen, and I'm done. You and I don't have to be this way. It's the condition as a whole, individually. You don't have to be that way. That Bible says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. And you and I, in this age, need to be zealous of Jesus Christ, the things of God, and we need to be good repenters. Where, oh God, I didn't realize that. Please forgive me and walk with our God. Even though it's the end days, you and I do not have to be that way. And we can serve Jesus Christ full of energy and faith and strength and be what God wants us to be in this age by His grace. How are you doing? Let's pray.
Father, I pray you bless the message. Lord God, I pray you help us examine ourselves. Lord, it is the last days, the last times. And God, I pray that you would work and move in Grace Baptist Church. God, work in our hearts. Revive us. Help us to be aware of what's going on. And as such, avoid it. And do right and be right. And Lord, if there's anybody here today who's lost, they've never been born again, I pray they might realize that Jesus Christ died for them. That you shed your blood for their sins. And they need to be born again. And Father, if there's some saints here, maybe some men been called to preach, some missionaries, whatever your will is, I pray they would heed your call, realizing it'll never be convenient. Father, work and move, I pray. Now the heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you, let's just ask a couple questions and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you say, Preacher, if I died today, I do not know for sure that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that? I've never been born again. Anybody? All right, don't see any hands. Brothers and sisters, it's been real plain. It's not a sermon to move really for a decision. But you need to examine yourself. Are you living as you ought to be? I know we can all do better. But don't fall into the condition of this age. Go against it. Be something that God wants you to be. Don't give in to it. Father, I pray you bless in the invitation. Work and move in our hearts. Help us, Lord God, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.